The views, opinions, or advice offered by this show's host do not necessarily reflect those of News Talk 780 KOH or its parent company, Cumulus Media. This is Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. Sponsored by Keystone CPAs, we're getting Northern Nevada back to business.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business-savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studio. Hey, you Garden Show listeners. You want to hang tight and hang on. If this frozen tundra wasteland ever passes, you're going to be wanting to know about how rapid growth is going to happen for your garden. Well, on today's installment of Bosma on Business, I've got the rapid growth guy who's going to be able to tell you how to rapidly grow that business. And, you know, he's got quite a pedigree and, you know, somebody that we are honored to be around. Of course, each and every Saturday, we bring you 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. So without further ado, the rapid growth guy, Matthew Pollard. Matthew, welcome to Bosma on Business.
Thank you so much, mate. I'm ecstatic to be here.
Excited as well. So kind of the way we start this thing off is you give us just the 411 for people that even know what that is. The 411 for what your business is. How'd you get into this line of work? What got you to here today?
Well, so I should be the least likely person to be where I am today. I mean, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader in late high school. I was super introverted. And to be honest, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And then I fell into a sales role after losing my job in Australia just before Christmas. And I mean, in Australia, you just can't get work around Christmas time. You know, everyone goes on our summer break and our holiday break at the same time. And, you know, you just, for 4 weeks, nobody's hiring. And the only job I could get was commission-only sales. And after 93 doors of rejection, getting told to get a real job, getting sworn at, I decided that there had to be a smarter way to do it. And I actually taught myself how to sell watching YouTube videos. Well, I got better at it. It was 64 doors, then it was 31, then it was 28, then 9, then eventually I got it down to making a sale on average every 3 doors. Well, within the space of 6 weeks, I was actually the number one salesperson in that company. I got promoted a bunch of times. Fast forward just shy of a decade, I'd been responsible for 5 multi-million-dollar success stories. And that's what I write about in my books, the Introvert's Edge book series, that we as introverts, we're not second-class citizens. Our path to success is just different. And if you want to obtain rapid growth, systemization, especially for introverts, is absolutely essential. And that's what I learned in sales, I learned in networking, and I've learned in business.
And so, you know, actually, there's a lot there, Matthew. Holy smokes. So 5 successful exits, the introvert's guide to sales, and now you're the rapid growth guy. I mean, and it all started watching YouTube videos. You know, it's fascinating. I was just talking to my producer. Now I'm going to disclose and disclaim to our listeners that what I'm about to say is going to be offensive to some of you. But I want you to hear me. Because it was offensive to my producer. Because so, what I said okay. was, I said, we have as much money as we want. You know, it's just like, how much money do you want? There's really no reason to be poor. You get as much as you want. And I went on to explain a couple of those situations, much like your situations, Matthew, where, you know, you've lost your job. There's nobody hiring because it's on holiday. And you're like, well, hey, I'm just going to figure out how to do something. You know, I'm going to try and sell stuff. And then you're like, well, I don't know how to sell, because anytime you do something new, you are not skilled at that. I was going to say something that I'd get beeped at. So that's the thing I love doing and helping people do is figure out either a side hustle or a way to monetize stuff or a way to be successful, whatever their definition of success is. Hey, let's try and riddle that one. You riddle it in sales. So talk to me about a couple of these exits. So on the phone, Matthew Pollard, the rapid growth guy, talking about, you know, kind of that, you know, way to win. And, you know, I'm all about exits right now. Of course, I'm a business broker. So always fascinating to see how people sell their businesses. What were some of those exits, Matthew?
Well, actually, I'd love to go back to the specific point you just highlighted,
sure,
because I think that's a really important one. And then I'd love to answer your question. I think the important thing for a lot of people, actually, I was actually just speaking at an EO event or entrepreneurial organization event in Detroit just a couple of weeks ago. And what happened is I was talking to people about how to obtain rapid growth in your business and how to create success. And then I talked about my introverted story for success. And one of the questions that came up is, why didn't I just quit? Like, I mean, 18 people. I was in a training group that literally 5 days went by of product training, not a single second of sales training. Day one, 18 of the 20 people I was part of, they all quit. Well, the answer was that the world never came easy for me because of my reading issues. I always had to push to find another way, and perhaps that was an advantage. But why didn't I just accept it for the way it was? And I think that's the other thing that people really struggle with. It's that, you know, every time we do something, we do what everybody else does, and we just assume that the way we see the world or the way people tell us is the way it is. And if I had accepted the gift of gab was this thing that I just couldn't get beyond, then, I mean, my year would have been horrific. So it really came down to taking responsibility and then living in what if. I mean, you know, Henry Ford will say, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. So I chose to believe that sales was a system, a learnable skill. And most people believe it's some natural ability you either have or that you don't. Now, once I knew that, it became about doing the work. And it's so interesting how many business owners focus on just the process of getting to the point where they get to focus on their functional skill, and that's it. And that's great if you've got a Rolodex of people. But once you've absorbed that Rolodex, growth beyond that requires the focus on three things outside the scope of your functional skill. And that's what I've been able to do in all of my successful businesses, which is learning how to differentiate, to separate myself from everybody else, niching down, and then creating a sales system that works. And actually, a really good example of the niching process is that, you know, one of the businesses was an educational facility, your equivalent of a nationally accredited college. And when we first started in the marketplace, the hardship was so many other people were doing the exact same thing. There were two markets, the people that were trying to sell qualifications to people that already had degrees. And then there was the marketplace of people that didn't have, you know, didn't get the great grades at school, but regardless, they were trying to get into a qualification to get good enough grades to get into the school of their choice. And either way, that would be a hustle. So a lot of people, when they're thinking about exiting their business, they start wrong. They start by saying, oh, I'm just going to have a, you know, a product. And, you know, if you can't successfully articulate the value of what you provide to a group of people that are politely listening in a networking room for a couple of minutes, then you've got no chance online. You've got no chance of getting yourself out of that convincing control role, which is, you know, if you're a business owner and you think your role is in sales, you're dreaming. So you have to think smarter. So for me, what I realized is I had to niche down. Now, for those people that have established businesses, that doesn't mean that you have to fire the clients you have. They don't care if you start advertising that you're a dentist on your website. They know, like, and trust you. They'll continue to use you, and so will the people referred to you. But what I chose to do is to niche down to the market of tradespeople. Plumbers, electricians, tilers. As a matter of fact, I started with just electricians. And we started working with 60, then 70, then 80 electricians. Then we worked with everyone on a trade site. Then we grew out and said, well, hang on a second, florists and hairdressers are tradespeople too. Then the Australian College of Anaesthetists and the Law Association of Victoria reached out to us and said, hey, Matt, do you realize that doctors and lawyers, they're kind of tradespeople too, right? They've done 7 years doing a degree, but they haven't had any luck. You know, they haven't been taught how to run a business. The methodology that we chose to use, because let's face it, the average tradesperson left school early because they didn't like school. They didn't trust school. They even thought, potentially, if you can't do, you teach. So they told themselves to make themselves feel better. So we ran every class like a mastermind of 20 business owners, all working together as a mastermind, really trying to help each other grow. And that's what allowed us to grow to 3,500 students in 3 years, and the fastest growing nationally accredited education facility in the country.
Wow.
So when you're thinking about exits, you have to start from the beginning. You can't start by saying, oh, I've got an accounting firm that's just like everyone else, but I want to have a series of multiples. You've got to start by saying, I've got something uniquely different that people will pay a premium for. And then people will pay a premium for your business because of that reason.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's where when I look at it, it's funny, I was interviewing somebody for my CPA firm, and she works for a national CPA firm, and she has an interest in doing mergers and acquisitions. Now, that's mergers, not murders, mergers and acquisitions. And so, you know, she's, well, you know, and I've known her for a decade or so. And I said, well, this is what our unique value proposition is. We help people exit their business. We value their business, sell their business, you know, do the financial plan to make sure that's enough so they can retire and then manage the wealth afterwards, put it all in a bow, boom. It's your exit strategy. And she's like, wow, that sounds exciting. I go, yeah, because otherwise, every other accounting firm is just like every other one. There's nothing to differentiate you from anybody. And you don't do anything differently. You do tax returns. You do financial statements like everybody else. You wonder why you're getting pressed on price because you're not doing anything unique or different. Like, you don't even know your own trade well enough to know what people care about. So, you know, somehow, Matthew, you're able to press in to find that secret sauce to get people engaged. And it sounded like you did that through a mastermind. You know, how did you come up with the idea?
Well, so for me, it's all about looking for an unmet need in the market that you can use your ideal competencies to be able to aid. And I mean, you think about the accounting space that you were just highlighting. I mean, firstly, you have a very institutionalized group of people there. You know, I've spoken at a bunch of, you know, accounting associations and societies, and their first complaint is always that they're working at about 140% capacity. And then their second complaint is no one's paying them well enough. You know, the last accountant I worked with, you know, it's ridiculous, but we put his prices up by 430%. And he got on 4 sales calls, and we showed him how to, you know, I showed him how to restructure his dialogue, and he closed 1 out of 4. And our meeting was the next day, and he was horrified that he only closed 1 out of 4. And I said, well, hang on a second, you're making more profit out of that one than the other, than all 4 combined. How is that a bad thing? You said you were at 140% capacity. Then we changed a few elements in his sales process about making it more about them and building a concierge model of service and providing more value and what meant was meaningful to them and the unmet needs that they had. And next thing you know, his closure rate's 83%, which actually meant he retained too many clients because then...
He's still over capacity,
new
right?
Clients,
right.
It was still over capacity. So 430% wasn't enough. And yet most accountants say that it would be terrifying to put up your price. No, it's terrifying to put up your price without knowing how to articulate your value correctly.
Right. Or
if we were to look at a different group, if we were to look at a different group, you know, we're talking about acquisitions. I work with an MSP, a managed service provider technology company, and their entire business focuses on getting the tech stack ready now, specifically for people that are growing through an acquisition focus. They want hyper growth through acquisition, but the tech space usually isn't thought about until later. And then everything goes wrong because they didn't think about it until too late. Now it blows their budgets and it loses the momentum from their other stakeholders being involved. Originally, he was just a vanilla MSP. Now he's setting up for an acquisition as the acquisition lifeguard because he helps organizations manage their tech stack and help the IT team on staff navigate through that problem and translate the languages. So as soon as you niche, all of a sudden your value becomes obscenely clear.
Right. Yeah. And I think not only clear to your customer, I'd say even more importantly, clear to you as the entrepreneur. So you actually know what you're selling and what matters. And I think, you know, it's interesting. So when we come back, I get Matthew Pollard, the rapid growth guy. We're going to talk about systemizing your business for hyper growth when we come back. We call it Bosma on Business, Newstalk 780. KWH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, on the phone. Matthew Pollard, the rapid growth guy. He's not the sales and marketing guy, because otherwise he'd just be a commodity. He's a rapid growth guy. Matthew, you were saying, I'm like, that's why I'm the exit strategist, not the CPA. There you go. I'm your escape artist. You know, I'm Houdini. That's why I changed my CPA firm. Houdini CPA. The escape artist. All right. Okay. You're helping me. Thank you. And for free. This is great. Best. This is what we try to do on the radio, right? Help people figure this stuff out. And so as you're talking about, you know, especially introverts, let's talk about that for a minute. Because a lot of people, like, they'll look at me and say, well, you're a type A personality. You know, you're out there always. And just a lot of people aren't that way. So, you know, if you're self-identifying as the introvert amongst us, you know, you'd rather, you know, sit at home watching TV rather than talking to people. You know, how can you get out there and make a name and, you know, grow a business without having to talk to people?
Well, the truth is you do have to talk to people. What you need to choose to do, though, is talk to people in a different way. I'll give you an example. If you talk to people in the way that most people talk at networking events, where you say, hi, you know, my name is Matthew Pollard, and I am a sales and marketing trainer, and I specialize with helping small businesses grow their business. That's a really uncomfortable thing to say. It allows people to go, well, hang on a second, I'm not entirely certain whether I feel like I want to continue this dialogue because I feel like I'm about to get sold to. Now, for the average introvert, it also feels super uncomfortable. because it feels promotional. And how do you say it in a passionate way without sounding pitchy? It's almost impossible. So what I found is when I started to introduce myself as a sales trainer, people looked at me like I was, you know, one step above a scam artist. I mean, let's face it, right. Sales doesn't have that. You know, I mean, originally it was derived from the Scandinavian term to serve. And I think good salespeople serve their customers. They get them out of their own way and sell them products that actually benefit them. But these days, it's more like, how can I rip you off? And I hate that. By the way, if you're selling a product you don't believe in, there's so many products out there to sell these days. So, of course, change businesses, and you'll probably end up making more money, too, because you'll believe in your product. But the other thing is, if I say I'm in marketing and I'm in a networking room, the very next thing I hear is, I've already got a marketing person. Thank you. I'm good. Or, oh, I need marketing. How much do you cost? Either way, it's awkward. I'm either trying to say, oh, I'm different. I've got magic ruby slippers. Or I'm trying to avoid talking about price because we just met. What that leads to is a bunch of people going to networking rooms that either walk around going, do you want to buy from me? Do you want to buy from me? Do you want to buy from me? Nobody wants that. Which is why a lot of introverts do what I call aimless networking. They go to networking events and they have these shallow conversations. And if somebody asks them what they do, they might even say, well, my day job is, because they're almost putting themselves down. Mm-hmm. How does anybody want to do business with someone like that? Well, what happens is you then go home with a bunch of business cards that, let's face it, as introverts, we don't even reach out to our friends often enough. So we're not going to pick up the phone to call those groups of people because we've created no real connection. What I've discovered is even a lot of extroverts struggle when they're selling themselves with the same problem. They don't want to be that transactional extrovert, but they also don't want to oversell themselves because how do they not take that rejection personally? So what I had to do was I had to look for a way of introducing myself differently. And actually, you know what? The best example I can give you is I worked with a language coach out of California, and she taught kids and adults Mandarin. You know, she educated them on, you know, the language skills that they needed to communicate with their family or whatever. But a lot of people do that. It's a commoditized industry. So she'd been charging $50 to $80 an hour, but there were people moving into her state willing to charge $30 an hour to get clients. She had to deal with the fact that there were now a global competitive atmosphere and people were offering to do it in China for $12 an hour. And now there were technologies where we could teach each other English and Mandarin. We just won't charge anyone anything. So she's competing against free. So she comes to me and she's like, well, how do I compete in this marketplace? I'm not a natural salesperson. Now I feel like I've got to hard pitch people. And I said, well, what we should do is instead of trying to sell yourself as a commodity, sure, I can teach you sales techniques, but I prefer to avoid the battle altogether. And this is why I believe strategy needs to come before tactics. So what I did is I started to look at all the clients she'd worked with, and she worked with lots, but there were two specific people she helped with far more. She helped them understand the difference between e-commerce in China and the Western world, the importance of respect, why learning the language wasn't enough. She had to reduce their accent, how holding a business card mattered so much and that they did it the right way. She even helped them understand the difference in rapport. Like most people in China want to have you sit down and talk about business maybe five or six times before they even discuss business. Where in the Western world, we're like, if they tell us they want to think about it, the second time we speak to them, we know the deal's over. So I was like, Wendy, this stuff's amazing. You're doing so much more for these people than just language tuition. And this is what I find with not just introverts, but everybody. You know, the reason why your customers sing your praises is because you give them a ton of value that you don't describe when you're doing the negotiation for the deal. Right. Is it fair to assume, as a result of the assistance you're giving these people, they're going to be more successful when they get to China? And she's like, I mean, yeah, that's the point, right? I said, great, let's call you the China Success Coach then. And when people, and instead of going to any networking event, let's start looking at the right networking events. Firstly, we created what we call the China Success Intensive. And she's like, well, who do I sell this to? I'm like, well, who do you think your clients are? And she said, well, I mean, obviously it's the executive, which is logical. When I moved from Australia to the United States, I was terrified. Imagine going to China. I said, I just don't think it's your ideal client. She said, well, maybe it's the company. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, they've got millions of dollars riding on it, but I really don't think that's the right group of people. And she's like, well, who then? And I said, I think it's the immigration attorney. And she looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. And I'm like, think about it. These people make $5,000 to $7,000 for doing a visa. But they might make like $3,000 at the most when they have to handle the bureaucracy, the paperwork, all the stuff they've got to pay for to get the client. I said, just offer them $3,000 for a successful introduction. They loved the idea. They're like, double my profit for a simple introduction. Now she's going to networking events with people that she can serve, and she can also serve their customers. And they just speak to their clients and say, well, you've got your visa, congratulations. I just want to double check you're as ready as possible to be relocated across to China. And they would say, you know, we've got our visa now, thank you. We've got our place sorted. We, you know, learning the language. Kids are getting good at it too. I think we're set. I mean, they would just say, there's a lot more to it than that. I think you need to speak to the China success coach. We didn't get on the phone with the easiest seller in the world. These people were terrified to go. Company was motivated to pay, and they were recommended by their attorney. She charged $30,000 for doing this. Minus a $3,000 commission, she made $27,000 for the easiest sale in the world. And the networking conversations were so much simpler. When I go to events, I don't introduce myself as a sales and marketing trainer, right? Because that is uncomfortable. Instead, I talk about my passion for service. I say I'm the rapid growth guy after being interested in who they are. And then when they say, what exactly is that? I just explain my passion and mission. I say something like, one of the things I love to see more than anything in the world is an amazing introverted service provider with enough talent, skill, and belief in themselves to start their own business. But I just find they're stuck in this endless hamster wheel of struggling to find interested people, trying to set themselves apart, trying to make the sale, feeling like people care about one thing, price. Do you know anyone like that?
And they're like, that's me.
Tell them my mission to help. Right. It's simple.
Right. So, yeah, and I think those are things where, it sounds like you did, Matthew, is you focused enough on you and really what your true value proposition is that you were able to really distill it into talking points, really, just conversationally. No, this is kind of, you know, what I do or how I do it. And then people are like, oh, then they self-identify, they self-select, right? They're like, you're either interested or they're not, but... You know, how do you not be interested in that? Like, okay, and it's not what everybody else is hucking, which like is, you know, if it is interesting. I work with a lot of different business owners, Matthew, and, you know, trying to explain to, you know, and again, I work with a whole firm of CPAs, you know, but we're like, no, this, what we do is truly different. You know, we really move the needle for our clients in some key distinct areas that it is measurable. So let's do this. I got Matthew Pollard, the rapid growth guy. I want to talk about, you know, how to set up this type of a consulting business, how you charge, how you get paid, and what the pitfalls are. When we come back, we call it Bosmon Business, Newstalk 780 KOH.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Bosmon Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, talking about growing really your messaging of your business, not only to your customers, primarily to yourself. And it takes, as in words of Mark Twain, I apologize for not having time to write you a shorter letter. Right? It's, in order to distill that down, to crystallize that into salient points, you really have to wordsmith it and think about it. And work on it. And I think those are things, as Matthew Pollard, our guest, a rapid growth guy, is really presented in spades, is that, if you're not going to convince anybody you're worth hiring if you can't convince yourself. So,
you're absolutely right.
So, but the other thing is, at the bottom of the hour is usually where I hit you with the kind of how things in tax land are going. Little insight, tips or tricks on tax. Probably it's interesting to note now that with the federal government late last year put the kibosh on reporting for crypto transactions, Zelle transactions, those kind of things, at least for a year. The other thing that was a win is if you received a state refund. Of course, we don't get those in Nevada, but in other states, they had budget surpluses, so they refunded your taxes. Depending on the state that you got that refund from, that may or may not be taxable. Kind of depends on the state and why it was refunded. This other things that you just would not be aware of. Probably the biggest surprise was now you're required, if you do any type of research and development, those costs are now required to be amortized as a business owner over 5 years rather than deducted. So you better be taking the research tax credit to be able to offset the lack of deductibility there. And I mean, and of course, the other thing is, if I can encourage you, if I could beseech you, my loyal listeners, is... If you're doing your taxes, you know, your business return, that's on a Form 1065 for a partnership, Form 1120S for a S corporation, a Form 1120 for a C corporation. And that is this little hack that I found once I became a business broker, which is report the results of operations on the accrual basis of accounting always. And if you need help diving into that, we do give free one-hour consultation, 775-786-4900, mbosma@keystone.cpa. And kind of the idea of that meet and greet is to give you an hour of my time and make that as valuable to you as humanly possible. No obligation to use us. And as I mentioned, there's no charge for that. That's our give back to the universe, just helping people move their agenda along. But the real genesis of doing accrual basis financial statements is you can still use tax or cash basis for when you do your taxes, but then you have a real sense for how your business is doing. And it's just a mistake everybody makes. I have a Matthew on the prior segment was talking about a managed service provider. I have one of those that I have gotten positioned to sell in Southern California. And they were cash basis, you know, and they bill their clients every month. And so their receivables are pretty high. So why would you pay tax on that before you have to? But because I recast his financials to the accrual basis of accounting, it allowed, you know, that ended up creating an extra couple $100,000 of enterprise value because, you know, if that revenue is counted as income when you sell your business, you just don't have to pay tax on it. So that's the, I guess, the life hack for you business owners out there. Look at your business through the eyes of accrual accounting so you really know how it's doing. Of course, then it's easy to convert it to cash when you do your tax return. So speaking of returns, I've got Matthew Pollard on the phone with his insight and expertise into growing and really systematizing your business and setting that for growth. Now, Matthew, when you were talking about how you've helped, you know, your Mandarin instructor reposition herself from a price perspective, I imagine your services aren't cheap. I mean, how do you price what you do?
Well, thanks for asking. And to be honest with you, I do put a ton of content out there for free. And I mean, my publisher hates me to say this. I do have two books on the topic of how to network as an introvert, how to sell as an introvert. And you don't need to buy the books. You can go to theintrovertsedge.com and download the first chapters of both of those books. And, you know, in them, they always will help you overcome the belief that you can sell or the belief that you can network. Because that's the biggest hurdle that we as introverts struggle with. So I would definitely recommend that you check those out. You obviously, I put a ton of free content out on YouTube and social platforms to repay the debt of the fact that I learned on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I have an online program, and I also occasionally I work with 2 to 3 clients a month on very short-term engagements just to help them get their messaging right. And also help them niche down and then create a sales system that actually works for them as an introvert. First offline and then online so that clients actually take them. My goal is to teach you to master the networking room so you never have to go back to one. So the prices vary from a couple of $1,000, you know, right through to a 5-figure investment, depending on, you know, which one of those things makes most sense for you.
Gotcha. So, and then is this scalable on your side? You got employees? Do you see that happening?
Yeah, so I do have a whole team. So firstly, you know, I speak all over the world, and that unfortunately isn't as scalable as you'd like, but, you know, the rates continually scale. Though, you know, I do love doing that, which I know it's weird for an introvert to say, I love to speak at events. However, just, you know, Zig Ziglar was an introvert, you know, he's the most well-known sales trainer on earth, right? So the thing is that once again, you develop a system, and then, you know, I got to the point where I actually realized while it still takes my energy, I love it. The consulting, I only work with people on short-term engagements because I don't want to be that person that, you know, ends up the lead on the person's business. I'm very good at doing a certain few things, and I find that once I've done those things, their business kind of continues to grow, and they don't really need someone of my caliber anymore.
Right.
So once they've got that momentum going, I then allow them to move on. And the reason I do that is that those are the stories. Like, every one of the stories in my book they are all real stories of people that have succeeded in their businesses, some of them that have been gone on to be acquired, and all of them come from the fact that I still work with people one-on-one and through my online program. And my online program is obviously incredibly scalable. We also have a platform called Introvert You, which we actually have a seven-day trial on, always, that you can check it out. But imagine Udemy specifically designed for introvert education. And, you know, for me, because my brand's grown to a point, I mean, my books have sold 75,000 copies, 80,000 copies, they're in 16 languages. What I realized is that people were coming to me about all things to do with introversion. And some of those things were outside my competency. So what I did is I created a platform to shine a spotlight on other people that were introverted coaches or other what I call secret introverted titans, really successful business owners that also just so happened to be introverted. Mm-hmm. And so we now have a whole bunch of content in there. Some of the courses are mine, most of them aren't, but they're all tremendously helpful for introverts to become successful entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and of course, I'm fond of saying begin with the end in mind. So how do you see this thing going for you? You know, ride it until it dies or sell it off? What's the exit strategy?
Well, so I'm passionate about helping introverts realize they're not second-class citizens. And because of that, this, you know, it's interesting. When people talk about somebody that's been really successful in lots of businesses, that it doesn't mean that they were really happy in some of them. And some of those businesses, they made great money, but they made me miserable. What I've learned is you really can create rapid growth in any business with a great system, but there's nothing worse sometimes than a rapid growth business with customers you don't like and a business you can't stand. This business is the one that I absolutely love. I love helping introverts. I love helping them be inspired to succeed and to rapidly grow their business in a way that, you know, in a way that revolves around them, their family, and their life, but actually do those activities that they thought they would never be able to do to create a successful business and then learn to love them, which surprises them time and time again. So I do love that. The truth is that I'm only going to be able to coach a certain number of people, and I'm only going to live for at a certain amount of time. So yes, I want to see my work go beyond me. And I think a lot of people, when they think of acquisitions, and I mean, you could probably speak to this, some people do it because they want to make money really, really quickly. And I've definitely been in that mindset for certain businesses. But sometimes we want to see our work go on. We want to see that legacy and somebody else that's passionate about running it continue on from there. And because of that, you know, I do certify rapid growth mentors to go out and help people. It is built into a product that, of course, is sellable. And on top of that, Introvert You is definitely a sellable business. So when people think about their businesses, obviously, you want multiple income streams, so therefore it doesn't all need to be one business. I always recommend, though, that it's always aligned with one niche.
Right.
Otherwise, you're diversifying your resources, your attention, and you'll fail at multiple things. People think they're doing that as it's the right strategy. What they're doing is they're trying to hedge risk. And while from an investment strategy it makes sense, from a focus perspective, it's horrific.
Well, right. And I'll tell you, some of the best decisions I ever made was all about, you know, hey, we're going to do what we are uniquely qualified, skilled, and passionate about, and everything else in the periphery, you know, like you said, we have more work than we can do, so we're just going to do what we think we can really help business owners excel at, and then create opportunity for our team to have a great career with a great skill set. So it helped align all of that, so that when people are coming into the shop, they knew, you know, you fit this dynamic of who we are and who we serve, and now they're not trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It's perfect, right? It's a good partnership. So, and that's where I find, yeah, being able to reduce that down for not only the benefit of your customers, not only the benefit of your team, but especially for the business owner. Because otherwise, right, it's like, especially when fear sets in. And I'm telling you, like right now, things are a little janky out there. You know, things are a little soft. You know, is there going to be a recession? Or is there, you know, inflation? And that, when people start, you know, getting uncertain, is when they start making bad decisions. And I'm like, double down on all the good decisions you've made. Focus in on what you're uniquely qualified for, because, you know, basically, you should be as good as any better than most at whatever you do. And so that's where, if you can't find it, you just got to keep narrowing that down to, like, no, like you said, with your Mandarin instructor, oh, this is really more about culture, even more than language. And that's really where her value was. But she didn't even know that was a thing to sell. That was just something added on for giggles onto the side of it. You know, and it's funny because we're, you know, really now doubling down in technology with helping people go from bad accounting to good accounting. And so, you know, it was about, oh gosh, a year and a half ago now, I said, you know, guys, we're no longer going to self-identify as a CPA firm. We're a technology company that provides accounting services. And it's amazing that that sea change, that so now pressing into technology and then finding, hey, what does our business owners really need? And then to see the business owners light up like, oh my gosh, you're giving me information that actually matters. This is making me, you know, imagine the joy to an accountant when their business owner or client says, my life is better because you're in it. I was like, you know, as much as an accountant can, we beam. So when we come back, Matthew Pollard, the rapid growth guy, is going to say the number one thing you need to know to grow rapidly. It's Bosma on Business, News Talk 780 KUH.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, on the phone, Matthew Pollard, the rapid growth guy. Now, Matthew and I were on the break talking about those metrics, like Power BI being one of them. Now, Matthew, what were you talking about that as far as the business owner's ability to get that summary data? Some call them KPIs, key performance indicators, easily from their accounting system or accounting department.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, regardless of the size of the business, if you're not operating on data that's accurate in today's data, your business is just counting the days until it shuts down. I mean, even from a marketing perspective, you might find that the product you're most excited about that's creating the most cash flow actually is delivering you very little profit and giving you a ton of stress. So, you know, a lot of accountants are so focused on the rearview mirror and talking about what happened last year, and that's not helpful. So that's why I said offline, I'm just really ecstatic to hear that you're doing it. So few accountants focus on that, and it's just hugely important that you've got access to real live data to decide what your metrics are and to follow them like a hawk, and actually qualify that those are the right metrics as well, because so many people focus on the wrong things, and that can lead to a really stressful business. It might be growing in revenue, but not profit.
Now, Matthew, we do ask you for the big aha, the big takeaway. So if somebody's thinking about scaling their business off the charts, you know, what's the number one thing they need to know?
Well, what I would suggest is that you've got to get, if you think about rapid growth, it really comes down to three steps. A strong and differentiated message, your version of the rapid growth guy, the China success coach. You've got to think about what your unmet need is and then decide on a niche, and that's the second step. And then a sales system that actually works. If you have those three elements, and they're all outside usually most business owners' functional skill, but they actually take nowhere near as long. We're talking days worth of work as opposed to the years you spent doing your functional skill. So I always recommend, and I actually have a template that you can get at MatthewPollard.com/growth, where you can download a five-step process where I always recommend that somebody else, you do it with them that's outside the industry that you work in, because they'll get you out of your functional jargon, because it shouldn't be a jargony message. But if you do that five-step process, you'll walk out with your version of the China success coach, your understanding of a niche, like I pick tradespeople, and then a sales system where you can ideally tell stories instead of feel like you should be educating people, because you're really doing that for you. So to create a sales system that works, those are the three steps to rapid growth. They're all vital. They're often forgotten.
You know, Matthew, it sounds like you are doing a great work for many entrepreneurs out there. And I think, you know, if I could encourage you entrepreneurs that tune in every week and just say this, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm going to say the obvious, but it's really not so much, is running a business is expensive. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people are like, I want to write off my car. I'm like, okay, buy it in the business. And they're like, you know how much it's going to cost me to insure my car in the business? Running a business is expensive. And so you have to bake all of that cost into the business and then have a normal amount of profit. And that's to start. Hopefully you can grow it above a normal amount to, you know, some margin there. But when you're looking at, you know, how much to spend like on Matthew's time and really honing that, it is really invaluable to you to have the right people around the table that understand and can truly consult you to help you navigate this stuff. And probably the best thing that I see people do is if you're asking your advisors, and you know, this is your if it's your coach, if it's your marketing person, if it's your CPA, your attorney, if you're asking them, hey, give me insight, and they're coming back with nothing, you got the wrong people. So because these people, if they're good, if they know what they're doing, they're going to be able to help you beyond just answer your questions. They're going to help you set a vision vision and a course and accomplish it, because that's what they do all day, every day. Now, speaking of which, next week, another amazing entrepreneur, of course, going to weigh in on all things tax and business related, maybe some exit strategies or two if you need some help on all of the above. 775-786-4900, mbosma@keystone.cpa. Until then, you business owners, you keep that business engine humming. We call it Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KWEECH.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.